Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up, it's time to go. Zach and Miko's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laughter's waiting, don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach and Miko.
It's a Wednesday here in New York City. We're coming to you live from the Gas Digital Studios. It's me, your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico. And we have a great show for you today because I have two very, very funny guests across from me. Sherry, what's your podcast again?
Pimp Daddy Podcast.
From the Pimp Daddy Podcast is our great friend, Cousin Sherry Supreme. How are you?
I'm good. Zach, how are you? Good to be here.
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. And next to her, one of my favorite people in the world to write with. So funny, so talented, and a great guy. JP McDade, how you doing, dog?
My guy, good to be with you. Love the Celebrity Deathmatch tee.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you guys for coordinating your outfits. I appreciate it.
Yep. We really look like we're on a production crew.
Sherry does look like every woman on set with a tool belt.
That's true. I got my jackhammer ready.
With absolute authority.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever any of those women say.
Yeah, yeah. The meanest... The meanest dykes on earth are
they are miserable, right?
Any crew member just they're so
they're
sick
powerful.
Of everything.
They are.
They're just like, go JP, we need you in a dumpster right now. Like, yes, ma'am.
Yep, whatever you need. Yeah. Let's get plugs out of the way. Hit that plug music. Sherry, what do you want people to check out?
Just Pimp Daddy Podcast and come see me at any of my comedy shows.
Fantastic. Mr. McDade.
Just hit me on the internet, JP McDade Comedy on YouTube, McDade Baby on Instagram. You know the deal.
Thank you. And at Zach is not funny. Please check out my brand new special, Gas Digital Presents 30 Minutes with Zach Amico. Thank you so much to everybody that watched the premiere and left reviews and shared it. And you know, you guys really, really came through for me. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate every single one of you. It's really been a thrill. And thank you guys so much. And hey, if you enjoy this program, go to gasdigital.com today. Use my promo code ZOO. You save a little bit of money off your subscription. You get your episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored. You get access to the live chat and the archives, thousands of episodes of all your favorite Gas Digital programs. And you get our Friday bonus episode. We do three of these a week. And the only way to get all three is to subscribe. Is that true, Joseph Queen and Marcelino? Oh, I don't have volume on here? Come on. We got to fix that, boys. All right. Anyway,
you have Josie trapped in a small picture frame.
I have a bunch of clips of Ghetto Josie. We can cut that plug music. Here, AD is going to come in and fix it. Yes, Josie. We have a bunch of clips now of when Josie used to code switch.
Wow.
When she was still a comedian in Baltimore. Is that right?
No, it's not that. Oh, it's not that at all.
Is it?
No. Occasionally. I ain't feeling bad for your ass because you don't know how to do the drinking. I ain't feeling bad for your ass. Do fucking something. Like, you want to suck it and make me feel better? Wow. No, I fucking don't. I ain't going to be doing that shit. I'll watch you stuff your face with ice cream, but I ain't fucking you. Why are you trying to watch your husband get his fucking eyes lasered off?
I can't stop playing them.
Yeah.
All right, we got a bunch of silly
Josie
shit.
Ana Grande?
No, they call her that for a different reason. Ah, poor Josie.
I love her.
I love her, too. Thing. She's the best. All right, we got a bunch of dumb shit to look at today. But let's start with this. You know, one of our favorite things to look at here on the show is something I call Don't Go Behind the Counter.
Stay in front of the counter.
Don't go behind the... If you're in a business, if you go behind the counter for any reason, I believe the employees have carte blanche to fuck you up.
The captain's word is law back there.
Yeah, and I love seeing people think that they're going to go fuck shit up, and they're wrong. And today is Ladies in a Butcher Shop.
Oh, wow.
Friends in the booth, what do we got here?
We've got some roast beef lips and roast beef. Okay.
All right, we've got a gentleman trying to rob a butcher shop.
I would call that mistake number one. Up, there's strike two. At least he's wearing his helmet, though.
And a mask.
He's being safe. Yeah.
They're staying pretty calm, considering he just bashed that lady in the side of the head with a gun.
And he's smacking him. Oh, wow.
Oh,
yes.
Yep. Look at that knife.
What has she got?
She's got some huge-ass butcher's knife.
Yes, yeah, it's a knife.
All right.
And then she went out after. Good for her.
Wow. Those are two women not to be trifled with.
No, they were calm and paused and then got into it.
Can we see the size of that knife again? So what happens? Does he go to shoot him in the gun jams?
His sleeves are too long. He should have rolled his sleeves up.
Now, here we go.
It's nice that he put on his best shirt for this
exactly.
robbery, though.
Yeah, he's got court after this. Mm-hmm. Look at that fucking blade.
Woo.
Solid 18-incher.
And what do we got? She's... Oh, she gets him, too.
The other one holds his foot. She does a couple of chops.
Oh, she got him twice. Where's the gun?
I would assume he got off a scooter or a bike.
Yeah.
That's not a car outfit, yeah.
That's definitely a scooter.
Yeah, I think that's like a Vespa.
Yeah.
A Vespa robbery.
A real guy on a motorcycle would at least punch her in the face.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Now, fucked up thing for him is he cannot get caught for anything, because if he's got those wounds.
He better not get caught by his buddies.
You pulled up on
two ladies with a gun, and you left with nothing?
Right.
Pathetic.
Exactly.
He brought a gun to a knife fight and lost.
He really did lose.
Into a gender mismatched knife fight.
Oh.
All the guys trying to play in the WNBA should watch this.
Yeah, that'll do it. They don't got to lower the rim for those bitches.
No.
Well, they're Mexican, probably. I assume that was Hispanic. I don't know why.
Yeah, he did look like that.
It did look somewhere South American, at least.
Yeah,
all right.
A little zesty, too.
Possibly. All right, we do have two different cases that I wanted to look at today of people in scary masks terrorizing neighborhoods. And this first one is Chucky Masked Sicko, who terrorized Philadelphia, is captured in Vegas after two-week manhunt. Boys, tell us about it.
I'm just waiting for the picture to load. But so there was a guy a few weeks ago who was running around City Hall, and he threatened at least six people all around Philadelphia wearing this Chucky mask. Let me bring that up, Adrian.
Okay.
And then, so he got around. They're looking all over for him. And pull it.
They're looking all over Philadelphia. Like, which sicko in a Chucky mask was this?
Yeah.
Was it Jerry? Was it Kevin?
It looks like a trank addict in Kensington. Oh, like, yeah. Every trank addict in Kensington.
Is that a Chucky mask, or is that just like a shattered baby doll mask?
Yeah, it's just like a generic.
Yeah, that's
baby
what
doll.
I thought.
And so this is the guy.
Dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And so they used surveillance video, and, a woman who was jogging and felt threatened by a man actually called it in, and that you were able to use that to track him and be like, oh, wait a minute, we know this guy.
Can we see the video that was up top?
Give me 1 second.
I did expect more facial scabs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping that the mask was covering a horrible deformity.
Right.
Yeah, like, that it got worse.
Very pretty man, that guy.
Yeah.
Very good skin.
You know what that mask is? That is the mask, or a very similar mask, when Jenna on 30 Rock did the Connecticut Horror movie.
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly right.
You know what I'm talking about? They kept changing it to make it about Connecticut?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just typical Philadelphia behavior.
It is.
I will say, hood people love Chucky.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Big, big in the hood community.
Who has the most pull in the hood? Is it Chucky, Jason, Freddy, or Michael Myers? How would you power rank those?
I'm going Chucky top.
Yeah.
I think so.
I've seen a lot of iced out Chucky pendants.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a couple Jasons.
The Jason mask.
Yeah.
There's something it goes with anything, really.
Like
you can wear it formal.
Was the Jason mask. I know.
Yes. With Fabulous, it was like the Freddy versus Jason album.
Yes. And Eminem used to wear the Jason mask.
Sure.
Yes.
But up on his head.
Yes. Technically, and just because I have to horror nerd about this, Chucky, I would say, goes in adjacent to black horror. Because it is technically one of my rules for is it black horror.
You're
is,
playing
is
Six
there,
Degrees of Blackula?
Is there voodoo?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like that one James Bond movie.
Yes. And Chucky is brought through voodoo. And in the first one, he does go to his voodoo priest to kill him. And he kills him with a voodoo doll.
That is true.
And I believe, if I'm not wrong, there could be a crossover between Candyman and Chucky because Candyman's in Cabrini Green.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say they might pass it, or there is a history with the neighborhoods.
Cabrini Green is like the projects in Chicago, right?
Yes.
Why isn't Candyman killing white people in the suburbs?
Well, in the remake, they are gentrifying the neighborhood.
I see.
I didn't see that one.
So here's the deal with...
He should be in Winnetka.
the urban legend of the Candyman that comes through your bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
That actually is based on project buildings.
Yeah, but people piss in the elevator. So that's where you see the reflection.
Oh, no.
And it's because the old buildings were so shitty that... you could get into the apartment next door through the medicine cabinet.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Because the walls were so thin.
Pop it off your wall.
You could punch through it and climb into the apartment next door.
That is true. I've seen that. Yeah, that's true.
That's so kind of sick for like passing contraband or something. The police are out your door. Yeah. You just...
Or break it. That's how people... So if there was an abandoned apartment, you go in through there and you can break into the locked ones.
Mm.
And go back out.
And then go back out. So the whole idea of someone coming through the mirror is based on that. I remember there was a viral video a couple years ago of a girl who moved into a renovated project. And she said she had a bad draft in the bathroom.
Mm.
And they filmed her taking the medicine cabinet off. And it just led into an abandoned apartment next door that had an open door.
Yeah.
And all she could think about was like, oh, it's like literally sleeping with an open window.
Yeah.
Every single night of your life.
Like when you go into the bathroom and you're like nervous and you look behind the shower curtain to see if there's a killer there, it's like,
yeah,
close.
Yep.
Some guy from the projects just jerking off in your bathtub. Oh, God.
Jizzing through the mirror.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I would say Freddy goes next.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have big credit.
I just saw there's a viral video of a guy. I don't know if he's in Man's Chinese Theater or that area, but there is a guy who is Black Freddy Krueger.
Oh.
Who's super jacked and he wears makeup and he has the outfit on.
Nice.
And he goes, I'm black.
That's awesome.
He just uses the blade glove to work in a black barbershop. He gets edge ups.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Nails.
He'll do your beard real nice. Yeah, yeah. He'll line you up real nice.
Tyson could have taken Ali.
I called him Cassius Clay. His mother called him Cassius Clay. I'll call him Cassius Clay. all right. And our second one, phallic-masked sicko and unhinged vagrants terrorize young girls at soccer practice in NYC Park.
Phallic mask.
At a park, Hudson Park, right by the water, a bunch of homeless people, unhoused people, my bad.
Thank you.
This is the main culprit right here. Put that up. So
that's pretty phallic.
Wow.
That's Jimmy Phallic.
Yeah.
He's dual wielding.
So they've just been camping out outside this park where kids have been, you know, practicing soccer, doing all these games. And so people are upset that the police are not rounding them up and doing anything about it because they're going with these masks. They're making signs. Allegedly, somebody said that there was a group of them just having sex in the open at 4 p.m. right after like school time. And so
that's prime orgy time. That's prime homeless orgy time.
Daytime orgy time.
Yeah, when are you gonna do it at lunch?
I know.
No, you gotta wait till you digest a little bit.
Yeah, rush hour.
Then you have a celebratory dinner after.
Yeah, of course.
Table for eight at Applebee's.
Oh, God, that double-headed dildo, man, that's crazy. He's just wearing like a double-headed.
And where
dildo.
Is that over by the water?
Yeah, it's right by the water.
Oh no!
So you see this guy sleeping, and then the guy who was wearing the mask back here, while they're just playing soccer.
I feel like, and I've seen this discussed, the old New York, like scary New York, is coming back.
Yes.
And it's coming from either side. So it's starting at like 9th Avenue and working its way to the middle, and it's starting over like Alphabet City and working its way to the middle.
Yes.
Like even around, like if you go over by Thompson Square Park.
Yeah.
It's getting a little sketch again.
Good.
Tompkins Square, I feel like it's been pretty dicey the whole time I've been here. And then I've always found that the west side is a little bit grimier than the east.
Yeah, I think the closer you get to the water, I feel like, is where you really get, it gets aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
And even, like, not that Times Square is dangerous, but, like, to the left of Times Square is where it gets. Where was that open-air drug market we looked at, Jorge? Do you remember that?
That was in Washington Heights.
Mm. Okay. There's a spot in Washington Heights where people just are setting up blankets and doing open air drug, like selling drugs like their bags.
Like they're at Canal Street.
Yeah. Wow. And it's some like Viagra, it's some prescription stuff, and then sometimes it's just drugs.
A lot of it is like plaque psoriasis medication. It's just
it's anything you need. Whatever you need.
Whatever kind of trip you're looking for. Arthritis medication.
It's crazy that they'll round up the ladies in Chinatown with bags and not those people.
Yeah, that's true.
You think like, hey, we got to get... I bet it's the bag companies.
There could be a conspiracy, and I would believe this if someone smarter told me this. I finally just saw Wild Wild Country.
Okay.
And what they did was they took, in their like cult town that they built, they imported thousands of homeless people from L.A., basically so they could vote in one election. That election wound up not happening, but they're like, oh, now we have a bunch of new friends. But maybe they're trying to make more people homeless by allowing the drug markets to circulate, do their thing, build up the numbers, and then they're just going to move all those homeless people to one swing state at some point.
They're trying to clear out that area so that they can move in rich people.
Yeah, just give them all hot shots.
I think they're trying to... I wouldn't be surprised if they are trying to clear out some of those apartment buildings that they can't get people
it's
out
like,
of.
Listen, Hudson Yards 2 is not going to build itself.
Get the stinky homeless out.
Get the locals out.
I don't know. As long as it's not Austin level yet, or God forbid San Francisco.
I mean, it is true what they say about like the West Coast homeless, or west of the Mississippi, really, where like they'll fight you.
They're mean.
Yeah.
They're really mean.
I feel like there's a thing about year-round hot homeless.
Oh, yeah. Where you can't sleep. You're outside. It's 100 degrees.
They're like cooking. I feel like they go crazy. They go a more aggressive crazy. Like, I feel like every time I'm in the area of like the creek and the cave and over there, I see like a horrifying homeless person.
Yes, yes.
Like, lady in a diaper.
Ooh.
Lady shitting in a. I saw a lady shitting in a garbage can.
Sure.
That's fun.
No, it was not.
That's fun.
It was no bueno.
Yeah.
And I'm the Tenderloin's still the worst, though.
The Mission. Have you been to the Mission?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same area as the Tenderloin?
Yeah, I think so.
Wound up there last time I was in San Francisco. I was like, oh, this is interesting. This really looks like be prepared. Like all the wildebeest are about to storm.
It was post-apocalyptic. It looked like The Walking Dead when I was there.
It really
My cab driver kicked me out 2.5 blocks before.
I'm not going to the venue.
No, he goes, I don't drive down this area.
Nope.
Yeah.
Which was, I wish he would have told me when he picked me up.
He's like, I do drive through that area, but I don't stop.
Yeah, he made me walk the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That was the show where it was me, Lewis, and Kim, and the owner of the bar locked everyone's bags in his office and wouldn't give them back because it was a beer garden and Lewis brought a bottle of Maker's Mark in his backpack.
Ooh.
And the guy said that we were sneaking alcohol into his venue.
Okay, technically. but he wasn't going to drink it. Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't to give to the paying customers.
No.
And yeah, he took everybody's suitcases and locked the door.
Oh.
And said he was calling the police.
Hilarious, because you would assume like the guy would be giving the talent free drinks anyway.
Yes, but because it was a beer garden, I guess he was mad that we had hard liquor.
Whatever, man.
Yeah, but you guys are there to perform.
You would think that. I did a beer garden in Jersey, and I asked if they had any real liquor. And they, what did they have? They had something horrendous.
No, they don't have that usually.
I meant in, like, the office.
Oh, yeah. Well, they have, like, gold schnapps or, like, something.
It was something fucking horrendous, yeah. It was, like, a tequila that was a color I've never seen before or something.
Ugh.
Yeah.
One of those tequilas that smells like sunscreen.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Mm. All right. Keeping it moving. Woman 37 pretended to be autistic 12-year-old girl to trick family into adopting her.
Hell yeah.
These are half the girls that do mics right now.
I know. I was thinking just that. Everyone's autistic now.
What do we got, boys?
This is the woman.
Okay.
If you're getting fooled by that.
13, she said she was?
12.
Or 12? Nah, man. Come on.
What's the story?
So this takes place in Brazil, which I feel like sort of evens out everything.
Okay.
Because, I mean, who could tell with those people?
Sure.
Never
heard that prejudice before?
I can't even picture an autistic Brazilian. I don't even know what it would be like.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, she just did typical, like... she would carry on a doll, had a pacifier, wouldn't really communicate well. And so she was able to, like, maneuver her way around their sort of foster care system. And she said she used the excuse that she had, like, a hormone deficiency or whatever in order to be like, oh, that's why my body developed so fast is because I'm all messed up. And, yeah, she was eventually able to get adopted. And it took a couple of years, but they... Some CCTV cam footage caught her, and they went like, huh, that looks familiar, and next thing you know, she was arrested.
I wonder what 37-year-old activity they caught her doing that gave it away. It's like, oh, she's watching Frasier. That's weird.
Who adopted her? Pedophiles?
It was somebody through the church.
That'll do it.
No way.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
Shocker.
So essentially, she was pulling... I don't know if you guys are familiar with the program Just Shoot Me.
Mm-hmm.
She was pulling a Brother Donnie.
Okay.
Which, is, if you guys can
I'm
look
not
it
as
up,
deep into the lore.
One of probably my favorite sitcom plot lines ever is that the photographer, so they're at a magazine, and the photographer, Elliot, says he has a brother who, I think, fell out of a tree or something. They were playing Frisbee, and he went through the Frisbee, and he fell, and now he has a head injury, and he's special. It's David Cross. Because people forget Brian Posehn's on the show.
Right.
So all the Mr. Show people.
So right, young. Right.
But this is so great. Show.
I'm all done.
Oh, I'll get that. I'll get it.
I love you, Ma. You see, that makes it all worthwhile.
He pretends to be special by dressing exactly like every guy in line at a comedy show.
That's true. Hey, Donnie, every guy in Bushwick.
You Giants
help
jersey.
Me with the dishes, huh?
Break the dishes?
Never mind.
Donnie, you want something to drink? Donnie wants a beer. You know what the doctor said. Donnie wants a beer.
Okay.
Yep.
Can you fast forward some?
Mwah. No, Donnie want a kiss like on Showtime.
Smart.
Well, I don't think we know each other well enough, but you could be my pretend boyfriend. So you like football, huh? Donnie has a secret. You promise not to tell anybody?
Well, sure, I promise.
Swear across your heart?
Across my heart.
On a stack of Bible books?
I swear.
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah, listen up, bitch.
I'm not really slow.
All right, I fake falling out of that tree. Now everybody waits on me hand and foot. It is the sweetest scam in the world.
What?
Yeah. So you want to go get some sushi? Have a little sake? Get a little weird? Whatever.
It's
okay, babe. I'm not really dumb. I'm just slow in the good ways.
Now blow out the candles. It's my son, dude. David Cross said one of the things people say to him in this, in one of his like things he said, he goes, chicken pot, chicken pot, chicken pot pie. And David Cross says people say that to him all the time, so it haunts him.
He can't live it down.
He comes off like a miserable prick sometimes.
He was nice. I did a show one time. He was nice enough to me. I don't know.
I've heard people come up to people saw him at the Bell House,
yeah,
like at a concert, and he was like really like not nice to people.
Yeah, I hate yeah.
That. And when he does people's pods, he just comes off very like he yelled at Norman for farting.
What?
Well, yeah,
he was farting Gary on Mr. Show.
It's true.
And he like argued that farts aren't funny.
Hypocrisy.
Yeah, he wants to be the fart king. That's why. He wants stolen valor.
He's trying to keep him off
exactly.
of his corners.
Yeah, he's like, that's my fault.
I wonder, I bet there's a bit of a chip on his shoulder for how funny he is and how great he is and how many people must go, you're the guy from Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then Odenkirk's career.
And then Odenkirk being like such a respected actor now.
But he, well, bitter. That's funny that it was David Cross because it also kind of reminds me of this whole adoption thing of the Mr. F plot line in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
With Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
David Cross was also in.
Yeah, I just.
The F.
I just. I think you know the difference between a 37-year-old and a 12-year-old.
She had a gray tooth. Like one of them was like turning gray.
Which is because that, they just had the Natalia. What her name? Was it Natalia Grace?
Natalia
the little
Grace.
Girl.
Yeah. And that was the movie, The Orphan.
I saw that, yeah.
So this was 14 months that they didn't realize that she was... She lived with them for 14 months, and then finally the aunt, she was suspicious. She Googled, and she found, like, this happened in a different city. But when she got arrested, she started talking like normally, not like a baby anymore, and... But yeah, she lived for, she had a 12th birthday party. She had all expenses paid, a bedroom decorated with toys. And she even convinced them to pay for a course of weight loss drugs. And they found that she had Googled, how does an autistic person act?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just go on Reddit.
Yeah, that's true.
At no point was anybody like, hey, why is our 12-year-old premenopausal?
Right, exactly. You got perimenopause.
Where do you want to go on vacation for your birthday? Sandals, Jamaica.
Exactly. Go on a cruise.
Yeah, why is our 12-year-old have hot flashes and drink white wine and cry?
Exactly.
She asked for a heating pad for her lower back the other day.
Right. Weird gift, but hey, you know, autism. Hey guys, you ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft? Like your coffee's warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? That's why our great friends created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee. It's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients like Tongkat Ali, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and yeah, in the bedroom too. And it's not just about testosterone. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in, all while supporting your natural T levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. Body Brain Coffee has Tongkat Ali, lion's mane, ashwagandha, L-theanine, and premium freeze-dried Colombian coffee. It's got a bold, rich taste with no fillers. Save 15% today with the code ZOO15, ZOO15, at bodybraincoffee.com. That's bodybraincoffee.com. Power your day. Fuel your drive. Let's get back into the show. All right. We got more dumb shit to look at. Harvard Medical School has agreed to pay $53 million to settle class action lawsuit by relatives of donors whose remains were sold on the black market.
Ooh.
Love this story. This has been going on for a while, I think.
Yeah?
Like, a lot of people who donate their bodies to science wind up in some difficult situations. They, like, people wind up getting buried on the island with all the homeless people, Heart Island.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like, one lady donated her body to science, and I think the military used it. They strapped her to a chair and shot her with a bazooka.
I have heard of that one.
Yeah.
Wow.
The one cool thing, I guess cool to me, they do when they teach forensics or when they're studying forensics, one of the things they do is they'll have like a field, and when people donate their bodies, they just lay the bodies out there so they can study how they rot and decay.
In different positions.
In different positions and in different like climates so that they can have a more accurate way of telling how long a body's been out there.
It depends on the weather too.
Well, no, that's what they test different.
Yeah.
Like in a cold climate, in a hot climate. And there's just, I think they call them body farms.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's interesting.
And I think that's a pretty.
They grow mushrooms on them.
Yeah.
Could.
I think that's a very accept. I think it must be weird if you got, if you're someone you love donated their body and you know there's just a bunch, I know it's a Louis bit, but like there's just a bunch of medical students like prodding at your grandma.
Yeah. And they have good intentions too. Like my uncle wanted his body donated and they're like, oh, we want it to science. I'm sure he didn't think it was going to be in a field getting, you know, rotted in front of everybody.
Yeah, they don't specify which science.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or the bodies exhibit.
Yeah.
Isn't that that's like, fucking Chinese prisoners.
Is that what that is? Okay.
That's fucking Chinese dissidents, dog.
Is that what that is?
There's a reason. They were unidentified bodies that like washed up on the shore because I went there when I was like in high school.
But... Yeah, I saw that. I went to the exhibit.
Yeah, and they're all like 5'5".
They are all smaller.
They're all really tiny. Like
anyone taller than G.
Yeah. Oh, they're all tiny. And yeah, they're definitely Chinese prisoners that got mass executed.
Oh, my God.
And I think there's a lady who is claiming that she went to the bodies exhibit and saw her son's body.
I was going
to
say, that's my son. That's my dad.
Because she recognized his dental work.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, or tattoo crazy. Or anything.
Well, no, they're skinned.
That's true. They are skinned off. Ooh.
But she said that he had some type of dental work and I think maybe a crown or something. And the body had exactly his, and she's been trying to find, because he was missing. And she's trying to find out where they're getting these bodies from.
All the bodies have the same head wound in the back of the skull.
Exactly.
All right, so tell us about it, boys. What's going on with Harvard?
So, yeah, so there was a couple who worked in the body lab where they would, you know, take care of all this stuff. And from 2018 to 2023, they were just stealing bodies and selling off parts. Including selling a piece of skin to somebody to be leathered up and turned into a book cover.
Oh,
which, sweet.
Which I think is really sick.
I would donate. Dude, you get a lot of books out of me.
Yeah.
You get an encyclopedia set.
A lot of artwork, too.
Yeah.
But so they got, because they worked at Harvard, they got in trouble and they had to formally apologize on behalf of the school. And so now the case is being settled through
them.
I
would expect it from Yale.
Yeah, but not Harvard.
Come on.
So now the case is being settled through them, and 47 people were able to lodge their lawsuit, and now it's gone up to a $53 million settlement that will be distributed amongst the 47 people of people who are able to claim reasonably that they know the remains of their relatives were mishandled and sold.
That's got to be some money, though.
I got to know who bought that book cover. That's the only mystery that needs to be solved right now, because someone's making like a satanic Bible or something, or Book of the Dead.
Yeah, Necronomicon.
Yeah. Oof. The Ninth Gate or something.
Dude, I would, oh, that's so fucking, I would love to, I would ask desperately for my face to be the cover, though.
Yeah.
Just stretched out across it.
Yeah. Like a Harry Potter book. That
I was thinking that too, the Harry Potter one that opens up. Yeah.
So they don't know exactly who's relatives' remains were actually used, because it's like your relative may have been not used, and you're still part of this settlement pool.
Oh, it's from anybody that donated to
it's
that
one
facility.
Of the 47. Yeah, it's like any of the 47 may have been involved, but they don't know exactly whose were like sold off and mutilated specifically. So,
oh my God,
somebody get really lucky.
It's Harvard. the Facebook. That's literally it.
The Facebook.
They made a book out of somebody's face.
Oh, Zuckerberg.
At Harvard, it's Zuckerberg.
Dude, that would be crazy if Zuckerberg has an actual Facebook.
Yeah.
That would be sick.
It probably
dude.
Is him, right? Yeah. Sick fuck.
Well, didn't Facebook start as like.
Well, certainly he doesn't have a spine.
Didn't it start as a way to rank bitches?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just hot yeah. girls.
In the college. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's some nefarious shit going on. Mm-hmm. See, this is the movie I want. They don't need to. I don't need another fucking Zuckerberg story. No. I want the evil.
The real
side.
Yeah,
I want
Facebook.
To see where they turn yeah. skin into books, man. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Did you guys see the serial killer? They think they're finally catching in Philly.
Is it the guy in the Chucky mask?
No,
that's where
no.
I would start.
He looked too soft.
So it's a house in Philly, and it's still developing. Basically, guy gets caught. I think he had a body in mm-hmm. the house, but then they find a bunch of drums, like steel drums.
With not like Jamaican
a steel drum. It's all going to be 80.
That a bomba clot now, come on.
And he's got hard drives upon hard drives of photos, living and dead, photos of multiple missing women. And they're starting to think that this has been an operating serial killer house for multi-generations. Because the guy's...
He's passed down?
The guy's dad,
wow.
who died, used to make and distribute snuff porn.
Jesus. Mm,
definitely.
And it would be supposedly fake videos of women being murdered.
And people say there's no industry in Philly. You know, there's
that's
a whole
true.
Show, the whole sector of showbiz.
That's
there's
true.
A whole thing people don't know about, but they're thinking because apparently there are remains of what they think are a shitload of bodies.
Oh my God.
In this house. And they're still testing it because it could be an Ed Gein situation where they
yeah.
might have been grave robbers. Mm. But the amount of missing people that are matching it makes it look like maybe they were doing like auditions. And killing them.
Oh, yeah. Coming to my house, audition for this film.
Yeah.
Failing to book the snuff film.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Didn't get the part.
Still waiting to hear back.
Oh, man.
Practicing your lines in the mirror.
Yeah. No.
He taught his son how to do it as well.
They think it's a
There's so much nepotism in filmmaking.
Yeah, generational wealth, at least. Yeah.
They think it's a family operation.
God. Oh, that guy was definitely doing open mics in Philly, I'll tell you what.
I just read about, or actually read, I'm an asshole. I watched a video.
Yeah,
I'm not smart.
You watch TikTok.
And I want to say, can you look up a movie? I want to say it might be called The Evil Within. And it was the grandson of an oil tycoon who was plagued with crazy nightmares and night terrors. And he decided that he was going to make a horror movie that actually showed all these nightmares he's been having. And he spent his entire inheritance.
Yeah, it was called The Evil Within 2017. And it cost between $4 and $6 million.
And he shot it himself.
Okay.
He made all the effects himself. He made the puppets himself, the animatronics. He all self-taught. But it took him, I want to say, 6 or 7 years to shoot it because he had no idea what he was doing. And then he spent 7 years locked in his house editing it and smoking meth.
Yes. Sure.
The old Hitler method.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino does that too.
And
coke, but not
well, he doesn't edit his movie.
Oh, yeah, that you're was, right. He did everything, this guy.
That was Sally.
You see what meth can do for people?
But he died editing the movie.
Oh, that's
because right. He got so broke. He went from being like a multi-millionaire to only eating cereal and smoking meth. He spent all his money on the movie and meth. And he was found dead in his house. And his co-producer finished the movie, sold it to streaming, and it bombed.
It did bomb.
Yeah, they changed the name to the original name was something else.
Oh.
And it's a huge bomb, but supposedly it's this guy's life work that killed him.
It literally killed him.
I want to do it on Spook Show.
It was originally called The Storyteller.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's a better title.
Yeah, The Evil Within sounds like a lot of other horror
movies. I think they were trying to... the thing I read was that there's a video game with a similar title, mm-hmm. and they were trying to capitalize on people thinking it was the movie version of the game.
That guy's vision was never finished. That's so sad.
Well, I think it's also a lesson in maybe if you're going to make a movie, hire somebody that knows how to make a movie.
Yeah, well, meth will make you.
And they could have done it in a year.
That's true.
And just, you know, supervise like most rich people do.
But yeah, you're totally right. If someone from upper class background like that, they should have access to good coke. Like, you don't need to be smoking meth.
Yeah, meth is too much.
Cocaine is movie fuel. Scorsese wasn't using meth.
No, he certainly was not.
No.
Say what you want. If you take cocaine out of Hollywood, we're missing a lot of great movies.
Yeah.
That is very true.
We're missing the way movies were made, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Blues Brothers? You think we get a Blues Brothers?
No, none of that stuff.
Without blow?
No. Any Goodfellas? Chris Farley movies? Any of those? Mm-hmm. Gone.
You think we'll get that?
Gone.
Gone. Mm-hmm. Popeye? Out the window.
Popeye, yeah, that's what it was, dude. That's
you've seen that? That it's finished, the most coked up movie of all time? Yeah.
I read about it. I haven't seen the movie. I read about it.
Dude, like, can you bring up a clip from the Popeye movie? Dude, when you find out everyone is coked up.
Yeah.
Dude, there's parts of it that are sped up like a cartoon, and I'm pretty sure they're not.
Right.
They're shot in slow motion.
Real.
Yeah. It's like watching a hummingbird eat. Like, everyone is vibrating in this movie. And I guess they were shipping it in film canisters. They were buying so much coke, they were shipping it in the big metal film canisters.
Nice.
Wow.
Which means they were going through pounds. Do we have any clips from the Popeye movie? Look how thin he is.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Put him up. Put him up.
Even the extras look like they're on blow.
Take a line and take your seat. I mean, that haircut inspired a lot of drug addict dudes in the 90s.
Where's Olive Oil at?
Hey, your mother's here?
So what?
Pleased to meet you, ma'am. I'm a lot of myself. That's his mother I can't bust when I was his mother.
You see? Your lady, old lady mother's been distracting you.
He must be flying.
You don't bust him, he'll kill you, right?
All right, who do you think did the, out of Kinison, Robin Williams, and Pryor, who do you think went through the most?
I say Kinison.
Career tonnage?
Yeah.
Kinison seemed like he had a good run.
Yeah.
A very, very productive run.
But he got sober. 80s.
He got sober. Pryor lived the longest.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Or did Robin Williams?
He got the oldest, yes.
Yeah. But he was freebasing. Do you get more coke in your system or less if you're smoking it? That's my question. Probably less.
It's less. You smoke crack or whatever, it is a lot less cocaine.
Yeah.
Bigger high.
I think Kinison was the biggest powder guy.
Yeah.
Of that
group. I don't know. I think Robin Williams
got to a higher level of movie stardom.
Yeah.
So he had access to like the good stuff.
Exactly. And he might have hit it well too because he had all that access.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Have you seen the story of Danny DeVito talking about going to the party with Schwarzenegger?
No.
he said they went to a party back like, you know, prime blow days.
Mm-hmm.
And they get there and every celebrity, they had like a room with a giant table, and every celebrity's name was written out in calligraphy in coke.
Oh, wow.
They had one of those Buddhist monks, like, doing sand art.
I love that
like
idea.
A pastry chef.
I think that's how Len Bias died, the basketball player. He was trying to snort his name spelled out in coke.
That is a lot of letters.
Is that true?
It was fish scale. It was 100% pure. He didn't realize how pure it was, and he had a heart attack and died. He had just gotten drafted.
Oh, shit.
Sad.
You know what? That is the story my wife told me they told her in Dare.
Yeah.
The reason she never tried coke.
Those old chestnuts.
It was a basketball player who died the day he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And then they said that they walked into the party and Schwarzenegger goes, Danny, look how long my name is.
It is.
So he had to write out Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Coke.
He got a lot that day. Man, those were the days. I wish I would have known people back then that did that.
The only story I've heard more.
Damn.
Oh, you know what? You know who I think doesn't get the stigma of it, but probably has taken down the most? Kid Rock.
Oh.
I could see that. Rich kid, probably grew up with it.
Yeah.
You know, cosplayed as a rapper and rocker for...
White trash wannabe.
Something to prove. A white kid with something to prove in a hip-hop world.
In his one of his specials, Steve-O talks about being at a hotel party, and that he said Kid Rock dumped a mountain of coke on a piano and was carving lines with his forearm.
Whoa.
How sharp was his forearm?
But he was separating.
Just like sand. Like at the beach. Yeah.
He was separating it with his forearm to like make piles.
Like
for
an Italian grandma who's starting to make pasta on the counter.
Yeah. And he said they were there for 2 days.
Yeah, I believe that.
Before they went through it.
They snorted a Joe C. line length of coke. 3'9".
3'9" with a 10-foot dick.
Exactly right.
Have you seen the, I keep getting, it's in my algorithm. Have you seen, it's like a little truck, but it vibrates and it's to grind out your coke.
No.
So it's like a flat bottom of it.
Okay.
And it vibrates.
Okay.
And you can put it on a pile of coke to break up all the rocks.
Oh, that's great. Cause I use like toothpicks now.
And is that
like
what you do?
Cheese, yeah, and like, you know, pickers for your teeth, the flossers. I use that, chop it up, yeah. That's a great idea.
I have a, for my friend's wedding, his favorite was a bottle opener, but it's a metal business card with the bottle opener slot.
The thing, yeah.
Okay. Him and his wife's names and the wedding date.
Aww.
And the second I got it, he handed me, I wasn't at the wedding, but he gave me one, and I went, you know everyone uses this to break up coke and make lines. He's like, yeah, no, that's what's,
Because years later, someone's going to be like, ching, 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 I should give them a call.
Yeah.
Exactly.
See how they're doing.
It's a great party favor to give your guests, too.
Mm-hmm. And then he's a big comedy fan, and he made me, he said I could have one, and he goes, but if anybody really famous uses it, you have to tell me.
Yeah.
And, he's gotten quite the nice roster.
I love it.
All right, moving on. And we're almost done here today.
Never use a metal straw, though. You heard those horror stories?
No.
No, why?
There was some, remember that show, like 1,000 Ways to Die?
Mm-hmm.
There was one about an unnamed model or actress who was using like a titanium Coke straw and then like fell out of her chair and fell onto the table.
Oh,
and
went, it stabbed her.
Right into her brain.
Oh, yeah. Shit. Okay.
Oh, don't do that. I'm glad mine's only that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stick with 100.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I just use my hand.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I have a little metal straw somebody gave me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's tiny, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure it doesn't reach your brain.
Yeah, I got a lot ahead. I'll be all right.
That's true.
All right. What did I just say? Oh, here we go. Where'd you go, you motherfucker? Georgia Walmart shopper picks up $30 from the floor. Local police launch search. Tell us about it.
I saw this. Was this like a flock camera thing?
So it's because... Oh, wait. I think they're... Hold on. Give me 1 second.
No problem.
So he found the $30 on the floor, and because he kept it instead of turning it into the store or any sort of authorities, they're claiming it's like petty theft, and so they're going after him. And... this is the guy. Give me 1 second. Which I feel like is kind of fucked up to go after this guy. He's a chill ass dude, just an old white guy.
Yeah.
Finds $30, that makes his day.
Is there not a finder's keeper's rule?
True, it's on the ground, right?
Yeah, you're allowed to shoot somebody if they invade your space, but you're not allowed to keep a little cash.
Yeah, that's why. It doesn't work there. It's not like it's employee theft.
And
like,
is this just from movies and TV, or was it you're supposed to turn it in, and if nobody claims it in 30 days... Like I know that's
which is
like,
hilarious because the cops every time would be like, yeah, somebody claimed it.
Yeah, 100%.
Me.
I feel like that's a thing I've heard in like movies if you find a wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to give it a month for someone to try and claim it.
You can
it.
Put a right. driver's license in the mail and it'll right. just get
sent to
wherever.
Right, put the
wallet
in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
So in Georgia specifically, there is a law against, you have to knowingly ask somebody if it's theirs before you can keep it. You have to responsibly take the first step to return it to its owner before you're allowed to keep it.
That's some bullshit.
That's some bullshit. Yeah.
I would say any...
It's $30.
That's my thing. Like, shouldn't it be... I would say if it's like $5,000 in an envelope,
yeah,
yes, that would be the ethical thing to do, because that's going to fuck up somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you lose $5,000, you are going to look for it. If you lose $30, unless you're pretty destitute, you're going to take the hit on it, right?
Right. You just eat it. It's $30.
What's the most you've ever... I found a 20 on the ground once.
Oof.
I mean, I think that's my max as well.
Yeah.
I used to steal people's wallets. when I was just... And there was this one guy at this in the meatpacking district, and his wallet was this thick coming out of his back pocket, and it was coming up, and I grabbed my two fingers, and I grabbed it out, and he turned around, and he felt it, and I threw it under the table so he didn't know, and then I waited like 10 minutes, and I got it. There was $6,000 in
what?
His wallet. Yep.
Well, he was probably up to no good himself.
He was so mad. He was looking everywhere, looking all around.
I guess he didn't look under the table.
He did not. And it had like a, you know.
Were you sweating?
Like a drape. I was. And I was with like two hot girls, thank God. Because I think he was too scared to come over to me because he kind of knew it was me, but couldn't prove it. But I was with the two hot girls and he was intimidated by them and didn't want to approach me. So I was like, thank God I was with these two girls. You know, and then I split it with them.
Well, that was very nice of you.
Take yeah. note, pickpockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Befriend
yeah.
beautiful women.
Yeah.
Use them as your accomplices.
Yeah. But it was hard, man. It was like, phew, phew. But yeah, it was yoink. Like $6,000, like $6,500.
When I was in France, I was very afraid of getting pickpocketed at the Cannes Film Festival.
Because mm-hmm.
they have like, I always call them the bubblegum kids from Hostel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the ones that take you back.
So they'll like swarm you,
mm-hmm.
or they'll have... the mom try and sell you, or you know, a woman try and sell you like trinkets,
mm-hmm.
and then the kids pick your pocket.
Yeah.
So my friend's wife made me a wrist guard that had zippers on the inside
mm-hmm.
for my cash and my passport.
They have these little Smart. Things that you can like put under your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You wear them like around your neck or something. They have pockets in them too.
Yeah, they're thin, right?
Like, what would you look yeah. for? Like if you were pickpocketing, what's like the green light?
The dream
scenario.
It.
Drunk.
Hypothetically, let's say.
I would say, yeah, mostly dumb men. Like mm-hmm. drunk men, distracted men.
Washing.
And it was always with other hot, I was always with like at least one or two or more hot girls. And they
yeah.
would distract them, dance with them, or talk to them. And then I would just.
Did you go out with the intention of robbing? Or was
Yeah,
it...
we went out.
Oh, okay.
We did it on the train a lot. We did it at the clubs. We did it, yeah, pretty much anywhere there where it was crowded, loud music, a lot going on, sensory overload. You know,
are you a front pocket or back pocket wallet?
A back pocket, but if I'm like sitting down on the train, I'll put it in my front pocket.
Smart.
Just because I don't want to sit on it.
That's the hardest to pickpocket.
Yeah,
for me it was in the front.
I've mm-hmm. never been a back pocket guy.
Yeah,
I get the George. I feel like, and I've never had a big wallet or anything, but I feel like it's the George Costanza, the one ass cheek hurts.
Yeah, you get
yeah.
sciatica from that.
It's like Mark Norman. His I heard like his wallet or his joke notes
yeah.
are in his back pocket are like this.
Yeah, well, because he
you pickpocket him, you're like, what the
I'm
fuck
like a
is
bunch
this?
Of fucking. Well, now yeah. I would steal his jokes and just go on stage. No, yeah. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that.
Comedy.
Hey, comedy, lesbian.
He well, that's because he writes a million jokes down on like pieces
yeah.
of scrap paper.
Yeah.
And then just has like a crazy person.
Exactly.
Has a bajillion one-liners written down.
Right. Exactly.
I just use the note section in my phone.
Yeah.
So same. Do I, and it looks manic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It looks manic.
The ones I write, because I'll wake up in the middle of the night with an idea, and I'm like, let me write that down, because if I fall asleep, I'm gonna forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
90% of them don't make sense when I read them.
I know, in the moment, it's so good in the moment.
Genius at 3 a.m.
You know?
And then I look at it, and I'm like, I couldn't even tell you what was funny about that.
Yeah.
And those all get sent to your email. So you could search them in like your Gmail. So
I didn't know that till the other day.
Yeah,
yeah.
And like Google is definitely reading all of our most insane thoughts that we're putting in the notes app. So,
oh, man, I never thought of that. I got some bad ones in there.
Me too. Some crazy, sad shit and, you know, disgusting stuff.
You
too.
Have to write for comedy in parentheses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just sillies.
Right. Just Josh and you.
This is not legally actionable.
No.
All right, what else we got here before we get out of here? Oh, here's one. Mayhem on California school bus as parents smash inside and kids forced to climb out windows. I believe this happened to Big J a number of years ago. The bus driver wouldn't let the kids off the bus.
He just held the kids hostage on the bus.
Yes, and he had
to work with all of them.
Yeah, he had a. I guess the driver was mad the kids wouldn't sit down or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she
I've
locked
had
bus
the bus like that, mm-hmm.
and the parents were like trying to rip the door off.
Yeah.
So let's check this out.
Oh, so basically there was an incident on the bus where a child tried to get out of the window, and in that situation, the protocol is everyone has to stay on the bus until the police arrive.
Okay.
So, but the parents were freaking out, and they didn't like their kids trapped on the bus. The kids are screaming. They're trying to get out. So one of the parents escalated the situation, and...
Is there a video?
Captured inside a school bus.
It's like my mom
climbing into a Calaveras Unified school bus window after deputies say they hit the door, breaking the glass, eventually confronting the bus driver after what parents tell us was a ride home that quickly escalated.
Everybody was screaming and stuff because they were excited to get off the bus.
Rambunctious.
Yeah. This 12-year-old on board says the bus had stopped along Highway 49 near Russell Road when he says one student climbed out through a window.
And that's when the bus driver was like, sit down, roll up the windows.
He says the driver told students they would have to wait for law enforcement before getting off. Parents tell KCRA students remained on the stop bus for about an hour as more parents began arriving.
And you're going to hand me my child when he calls me and he's scared. You know, like I said, second time he's ever ridden the bus.
His mother, Nicole Wellington, getting a call from her son about what was unfolding and immediately drove to the scene.
I went right to the door and I was like, dude, open the door, let me have my kid. And he's like, I'm not doing that. Then I gave my child permission to now hop out the window. But I was there.
Parents think that they can just take matters into their own hands like that.
But a mother who had two children on the same bus said she made a different call.
I told my kids, stay seated and just wait it out. Because there was not just one child they had to think of. They had to think of every single child on that bus at that time.
A separate video shows the parent who climbed inside the bus being arrested. Deputies say the parent was arrested on vandalism charges.
I do feel that maybe that bus driver, especially when he's driving, should not have to deal with all those kids by himself.
I think parents are now sending their children to school to be parented instead of parenting their children at home. And that is a concern.
In Calaveras County, Benson Court.
Yeah, those two ladies hate each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those two ladies talk so much shit about the other one when they're home.
Sure.
Their group chats are respectively going nuts.
Oh, man.
Their Facebook groups.
No, that, dude, I bet there is some cunty ass mom Facebook group.
Yeah, one looks super boring. Another one is, wow, just climbing through the window. You know, that chick looked kind of hot, though, that mom.
I just remember her. I forgot, because I was going, why do they... How did all the parents know? I forget every kid has a phone now.
Yeah.
And they're talking to their parents immediately.
And I guess a lot of parents have trackers on the kids too, right?
For sure. Those little tab things, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not only just on the phone. So I get...
Put them in their shoe, in their lunchbox.
I could see it being... I see both sides. Where, yes, you do have... But the idea of, wait, if for an hour, you're going to lock the kids on the bus?
That's a long time.
But when I was growing up on the school bus, the windows opened like 3 inches.
Yeah.
Why do they have windows that are big enough for kids?
I was wondering how
out?
That lady could fit through. I was like, damn, she's small.
She spider monkeyed her way in
she
there.
She really did.
I remember we got stuck on the bus once because we were on a field trip and a kid threw his milk carton at the toll booth guy.
Ha!
On the New Jersey Turnpike,
yeah.
And beaned the guy.
Nice.
And they had to stop the bus, and it was like a huge thing.
Yeah.
Definition of you: if you come at the king, you best not miss.
Oh, dude, he cracked the guy too.
Oh my god.
I also remember when we were coming back from something, and I just because you're a kid and the idea of throwing things is so fun.
Oh yeah, we used to do that all the time.
We used to try and find...
No concept of how dangerous it is.
I remember we had a big bag of gummy bears, and we were trying to throw them on the roofs of hot white car. It was a really hot day.
Yeah, melt them.
And we were trying to melt them on cars and get them in open windows.
Smart. Yeah. We had a lot of fun. We lit this girl's hair on fire one time on the bus.
You're a fucking like, sick bitch.
It wasn't me. It was a girl next to me. We used to have fist fights back there it was like a whole big thing. The bus driver was African and he used to wear like the whole dashiki and, you know, he didn't play either. Like he did not let us off that bus sometimes. So the cops came and it was back in the crisscross days too. Everyone wore their pants.
He was wearing his dashiki
backwards. No, like the kids were, but yeah, they were nuts, man.
Now, that's a very girl. The hair on fire is.
It was a girl on girl crime.
That is girl. That is like the definition of girl on girl. I feel like I've seen that once too.
Yep. And the one girl who lit the other girl's hair on fire, her hair was thin and like, you know, straw. And then the other girl had big, curly, beautiful locks of hair. And she did. She just started lighting it on fire. And until it just went, because she had aquanet or whatever in her hair.
Yeah, I was going to say, I grew up in the time when girls had like the crunchy hair.
Yeah, and was higher. The higher the hair, the higher to God.
But not like 80s hair or like, I'm talking like the,
I'm old.
I'm talking like the way Stephanie McMahon's hair was and like.
Like Bratz doll hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that would go up quick.
That would too.
When I had my mohawk, I would get so nervous at concerts when people did the lighters in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It did go up quick. It took like one or two strands, but by the third or fourth one, it just.
And did she get burned or just her hair was
gone? No, her hair, it smelled so bad.
Yes.
Burned it so bad. But yeah, all of her hair was gone. And a little bit on her neck.
Was there a lot of girl fights growing up?
Yeah, we were fighting. We were fighting.
I was going to say, JP, I have a feeling not a lot of girl fights in your adolescence.
There are a few, but not that many, no.
That's why you're a smart comedy writer, and I'm like, we had fought on the bus.
I wish I had a few more of those to witness. But I'm just thinking about this African bus driver who thinks, like, this white girl's hair just burst into flames.
Yeah, thinking
she's a witch.
She's a message from the ghost. We had
a lot of...
He was like that, too.
We had a lot more girl fights once we got older because we had a lot more girls from Jersey City coming.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And all the girls that thought they were bad bitches from fucking doofy-ass town really got a lesson in... Who could fight?
When JWoww came to town.
Exactly.
Oh, no. Hennifer and some Spanish girls showed up that could really throw hands. There was a girl that we called Truckface.
Ooh, Truckface.
And I watched her lump up a bitch. Mm-hmm. She grabbed her by the hair.
That's what it was, the hair, always the hair.
Hockey fight style grab.
It was
those big like haymakers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I remember the girl's face turned green after the second punch.
Oh.
It was the deepest bruise I've ever seen.
Well, she was hulking up.
That was Truckface that I whatchamacallit.
Truckface
knocked herself out in gym class. Because she chugged a bottle of vodka and then decided to go to the weight room. And she had two dumbbells.
Nah.
And she went to do this and clocked herself and knocked and both fell. And she hit herself in the orbital and knocked herself out and then got arrested for being drunk at school.
Yeah. Nice. I would just lie and say I got punched in the face. That's crazy. That's embarrassing.
I used the hair technique one time. I was on a field trip, and the kid sitting behind me was like trying to wrap the seatbelt around my neck or something. I like kept getting out of that, and at one point, I just like didn't know what to do, and I just reached over the seat and grabbed his hair, and like we both got a couple weak little shots.
That's
in
warranted,
before it was broken up.
I feel like my first thought was like, "Oh, you're a little bitch."
He was using a weapon at first,
just
grab something.
If he had it around your neck, that's warranted to grab his.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. Did you both get in trouble, or was he the aggressor?
Somehow we didn't get in trouble. Like, we both just kind of calmed down. It was weird. We both, like, agreed on a detente.
Yeah, I've done that. You know what that is? That's realization. Both of you are both fucking each other up.
Yeah.
And nobody, like, either one of us could win unless we got it.
It's a war of attrition.
Exactly.
We got to have a treaty or something.
Yep.
Negotiate.
You start to respect each other because you're like, I fucked you up. You fucked me up.
Yep.
Now I'm just a huge pussy. I've got no fight in me.
Yeah, but...
Every time I've ever been in a physical thing, I'm just a big retard. I squeeze them.
Yeah, but you kill them with words, man.
Mm-hmm.
No. A couple times I immediately just start trying to wrestle. I'm not...
Oh, well, there you go.
I can't throw a punch.
Yeah.
I cannot throw a punch.
You get somebody on the ground and then just choke them out. That's it.
Yeah, I've always gone for a front headlock.
A punch is overrated in a street fight anyway.
I always go for any little thing I've done. It's always a duck under or a front headlock.
Yeah. Get them on the ground.
And then I can stay on you. Or at the time, because I wrestled, I could.
Yep.
You can't
now I'd have
mass.
A fucking heart attack. But, and then I had to pay for a kid's MRI.
Ooh. Medical bills suck.
Now that was a fucking bullshit thing.
Yeah.
My parents were divorced and I got in a thing and the kid's dad called my mom instead of calling my dad to talk about it like men.
Nope. Calling the mom.
That's some pussy shit.
It is. He knew what he was doing.
Fuck you, Mr. Rorty.
Yeah, Mr. Rorty.
Your kid wound up okay. We wound up becoming okay with each other. But you, Mr. Rorty.
Are a bitch.
For calling poor sweet Alice. And fucking ratting me out and saying I used a wrestling move and that it wasn't fair. Fuck you, dude. And then I had to get talked to by my wrestling coach.
Mm-hmm.
He was an old man who looked like he had cartoon knees.
cartoon.
Coach
knees.
B. Coach B had to take me on a walk.
Yeah.
He's like, you can't be using wrestling moves when you if you get in a fight with these assholes.
You gotta stay on the mat, Zach. Yeah. You don't take it off the mat.
And then he goes, but between us, I wish you'd broken his fucking neck, you little cocksucker.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, do we have, you know what? I think we're just about to be done, but just for the funsies, let's look at a cat. Wisconsin cat, new Guinness World Record, 29 toes.
Whoa.
29 toes?
It's a lot of toes.
Why is it an odd number?
10 toes down.
You know what? That didn't even occur to me. The question is it missing a toe? Is it missing a 30th?
6 feet with five.
Yeah, let's see that. Let's see the deal.
Wow.
Can we get a close up on the bottom of the feetsies there? Holy shit.
Crazy amount of feet beans.
And do they say what it is, or it's just an anomaly?
Yeah, it's just an anomaly.
It is the beast that will bring an end to mankind.
I don't. Did he swallow his twin or his brother and absorb their feet or something?
That might be it. Triplets.
Wow.
Now, would that cat be more or less expensive? I'd imagine that's like.
That's pretty wild.
We had a Scottish fold as a cat, and normally their ears fold over. But if they don't have the fold, they're cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, because they
didn't have the ears.
They
that
didn't
fold.
Have the.
Because that's the thing people want.
Mm-hmm. So if a super toes cat.
Super toes cat.
Super toes. That's a great name for the cat,
that's
by the way.
Great. Super toes.
So the anomaly that happens, this happens with, is found primarily in Maine Coons.
Mm. Okay. Those are so cute, man. They're so
big, too.
Yeah, they're big motherfuckers.
Fluffy guys, man. Yeah, I love them.
You got to get hair. You must have hair everywhere.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's like a full-time job, probably. Yep. And you got to brush that motherfucker out or he's going to get dreads.
Yes, exactly. And I'm a lesbian, walk around with cat hair all over me. I'll just be a stereotype. You know, I don't want that.
Yeah, you're already going to use a tongue scraper to get hair off you every day anyway. All right, guys,
this
that's our show. Thank you to JP McDade and Sherry Suprane.
Thank you.
And we'll be back on Friday for our bonus episode. And thank you again to everyone who watched the special. If you haven't watched it yet, check it out. Thanks, bye.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, chug it down. Like your favorite obese clown, grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico's Morning Zoo. It's Zach Amico's.